Hello, all fans and listeners of the podcast. It is I, Kosi, one of your hosts of It Was Mooney. And I'm going to kick off this episode just trying to give you guys a little bit of a warning. We were recording in a new area at Aaron's house, and the acoustics aren't the best, is what we're used to, as opposed to it's supposed to Juan's game room. So you'll definitely hear a bit of a difference in sound, and definitely you'll hear a difference in our special guest, Cousin Chris, in his audio. We had a little bit of issues surrounding his audio, so I do apologize as the show's producer. WannaBe, please do not murder me and bring me back to life once again. So please don't do that, but I am just apologizing in advance. Just trying to clear a little bit up for you fellow listeners. Sorry about the audio, but again, this is it's a recording that we are very excited about, and it's our recording for Deadpool and Wolverine, featuring Aaron and special guest Cousin Chris. So I hope you guys enjoy this recording. Hello and welcome to another episode of It Was Mooney, your source for all things movie, streaming, and pop culture related. I'm your host, Kosi, and I'm joined today by special guest Aaron. And your first appearance
in my OG first co-host. First time, Cousin Chris.
No, dude,
how's it going, Kosi?
Hey, just a long fist bump.
We had to do a long distance fist bump right there. That's what that noise was.
Dude, and we're also joined today, and this will be filmed before a special guest. Very good boy, Basil. Basil. Where are you, buddy? Is he laying down?
Yeah, he's laying on his couch.
And I just want to be clear. If you hear a fourth voice, we swear to you, it is in fact Basil. It is not another human.
Guys, Basil can talk. Basil can talk.
Basil awesome. Might talk.
He can talk.
Just saying.
We're not bullshitting. He can talk. Okay. Anyway, welcome, guys. Guys, welcome. I'm glad we can, come together. Also, special shout out to our friend Juan. My co-host, he's dealing with a little Maurice-sized situation. That jerk. So, Maurice, I hope you're enjoying the rice patties because you deserved it. You earned it, man.
Oh my gosh.
And that's it.
No, I just feel bad for it. Was it Maurice?
Yeah, that's how we do things here.
Okay. Well, Aaron, we got to perform then because I don't want to end up in the rice patties.
You don't want to go to the rice patties.
We don't want to have what happened to us or what happened to Maurice happen to us.
No, not at all.
No one likes the rice patties, guys.
Because he told us as a threat.
Very subtle threat there, just.
And he meant it. Anyway, guys, we're gathered here today to celebrate
not a funeral, by the way.
Oh no! It's actually not a funeral. It is actually our Lord and Savior Marvel Jesus, Deadpool and Wolverine had a movie, and we're gonna review it. And we just actually saw it, 2 hours ago. So
fresh out the theater.
Reminder: full spoilers.
Yes.
So if you have not seen the movie, this is not the time to listen to this podcast. Go ahead and pause where you are. And we'll wait, and yes. When you come back, we'll review the movie.
Wait,
for
we'll
you.
Wait yep. 2.5 hours for our viewers
yes.
to. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. No, that's cool. Hey, go out and watch it. Everyone in the whole world has seen it. The movie has made $211 million already,
and it's Saturday. Only Saturday.
And it's only Saturday. With a budget of $200 million to boot. So
nice.
Everyone has seen it. So yeah, we're gonna get into it. Spoilers, as Aaron said. We're gonna get right into it. So just to open the floor, guys. Just what are your initial thoughts of just what we just watched? Who wants to go first?
Aaron, please go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
Eh.
Really?
That was my thought.
Really?
So like in terms of like we're going to kind of steal this from our friends at Double Toes. So it's more like a matinee.
Yeah, it's a matinee for me.
Okay.
I'm really surprised by that.
Yeah, me too. I was not expecting that.
Here are my thoughts on the movie. I think it had a lot of elements of a really good movie, but it didn't I wasn't feeling it. And one, I think it's the director, Sean Levy. What else has he directed? He did Free Guy.
Okay. His first movie was Big Fat Liar from our childhood. He did that movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's done like a lot of...
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
He also did Real Steel with Hugh Jackman. So like him and Hugh were like... They collaborate a lot.
Huge jacked man. That's a good person to have in your movie.
Yeah. So like, he's done a lot of stuff.
It's not a bad movie at all. I think it's the best thing that Marvel's released in a couple of years. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 might have been on par with it.
Yeah.
I really like the cameos. I really enjoyed the music in there, and not the soundtrack,
but the needle drops.
Not the original score, but the needle drops. The soundtrack.
Oh, those are great. Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, good choices there. I hated the action, and I'm an action film connoisseur, or at least like I'm drawn to action when it comes to these kinds of movies. Mm-hmm. I think the lack of David Leitch really showed through. Like every time there was an action scene, I did kind of zone out.
You know what? David Leitch is, he's like one of the best choreographers in the business. So yeah, you will get the drop off. So I definitely see definitely drop off from 2 to 3. Yeah. Okay. But not a bad movie overall, but just underwhelming in certain aspects. Okay.
But you know, I'm glad that there's another Marvel movie. I think it was a really good choice to only have one Marvel movie this year.
That's my first question. How do you think having this as the only one to come out this year do after watching it?
Great decision. Okay. But there's still a really bad taste in my mouth from the previous Marvel movie, so I'm not as invested in this world as I would have been, say, 2020 or, you know, 2019 or whenever Endgame came out.
2019, right? Yeah.
There's been a series of movies. This is the movie that really had to win me back, and it did an okay job of it. It was decent. It was decent. I don't have too many complaints there, but you know, you could tell they were still a bit sloppy about it, just from the very first scene where they introduce, well, maybe it's the second scene, but they say that it's on Earth 616, when in just like a previous movie it was like Earth 99999. Earth 616 is the official the comic book timeline. It's not the MCU, and so it's like, okay, I thought we were all on the same page here, but
there's a story about that. It's actually really interesting because, what is it, Kamala Khan, right? Miss Marvel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
She feels the same way as you do, Aaron, and she was very boisterous in some of her interviews when Miss Marvel was going on saying, like, hey, no, I don't think that this is Earth 616. That's the comic book, you know, continuity. And then Kevin Feige came up to her later, and when he was passing by her in a hall, and he put up 616 because he had caught her interview, and she was like, shocked by this, and she says sometimes she still wakes up at night thinking about it.
Like, am I gonna get fired?
Yeah,
in Kevin Feige's mind, it's Earth 616, which is very odd.
Okay, isn't it? Yeah. So 616 is the main, what we've seen from all the Marvel movies, that sacred timeline, according to the rules of Loki, is what I understood, because he was talking to Happy Hogan, like, that was March of 2018. Like, it was, it felt like.
But I'm okay if they're if this is the sacred timeline now, but there seemed to be like an implied understanding with the audience that the comic book was 616.
Yes,
I see what you mean.
The MCU was its own thing,
right? Which they even said in Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, that's what they said. Earth 999.
Exactly. So
you kind of just confused in the opening scene about, okay, where are we?
It doesn't seem as much. It wasn't confusion for me as much as it was, okay, that's lazy.
Well, no, Aaron, I'm right there with you, because it didn't really make sense. How did he get to Earth 616? He had a time traveling device. He didn't have a multiverse device, right?
I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
And like the like when the movie first started, I was thinking about that for like a good 10 minutes. And I was like trying to make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
At the end of Deadpool 2, there's a post credit scene where he comes upon Negasonic Teenage Warhead and Yuki, and Negasonic is working on it. And she even said, "Hey, man, I upgraded your." It's almost a blink you might miss it type line.
No. It's not the it's not the device that was causing me to feel this way. Like, I'm fine with the science, quote unquote.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
it's just, I was just trying to figure out which world are we in right now.
Right.
You know? Okay.
And that part did I was thinking about that for the first 10 minutes, and I was like, I'm thinking about this way more than the makers of this movie thought about this.
No, that's fair. No,
that's definitely fair. That was a really cool scene with Happy. A bunch of just Easter egg galore inside that whole office there. Like, we saw the briefcase suit from.
Oh yeah, no, that was so great.
It was like it was when he was walking into the door behind. There was a wall full of stuff. Oh, yeah,
but the I was probably still thinking about what universe.
They were yeah, in. Where are we, guys? No, they had like
they had the briefcase from Iron Man 2. They had the helmet that Peter Parker was supposedly wearing in Iron Man 2 well. Yeah, yeah. They had the fake Captain America shield from, I think that was also Iron Man 2.
No, we had the one we used to prop up in Iron Man 2. They even had Rhodey's old War Machine helmet.
Right, the silver one. Really cool Easter eggs in his office. Really,
like, again, I think, just going into just my thoughts on it, I loved it. I'd say go out and see this right away. I'll say that right away. I'm not like over the moon in love with it, but I definitely had a great time watching this movie. Like, of the three Deadpool, I think Deadpool as a trilogy is damn near perfect. I'd say it's such a great,
very solid beginning, trilogy. Middle,
it's solid, solid entry. I still think Deadpool 1 is a better movie overall of the three. I just like it. But in terms of like rewatchability, Deadpool Wolverine has that. It has that factor.
Yeah.
And it kind of definitely was a love letter to Fox, which, you know, you heard of like rumors like, oh, we're going to have all this stuff. So like, you know, your mind goes wild, like who can be in it? But like the people they put in, one in particular that I didn't even, would never even thought of like to put in there. And we'll get into that at the end with our prediction list, but like just how they handled the cameos and whatnot.
Actually, do you mind if we go into that like right now?
Just go into it.
Tell me your list. Who did you hope you'd see?
Okay. So going in, I was hoping to see Magneto, but Fassbender.
Is this in any particular order?
I'm just gonna throw it out. So Magneto, the Michael Fassbender version, Professor X.
Fassbender or is it Fassbender?
I say Fassbender.
That's the first time I've heard it pronounced like that. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was Fassbender.
I think Americans pronounce it fast, but I think I've heard him say Fassbender. But
Michael Fassbender.
Yes. Hey, please don't kill us.
It's more posh that way.
Yes. Professor X, but the James McAvoy edition. So bring back the first class versions. Daredevil, Ben Affleck, because there was a rumor that Jennifer Garner was in this. I thought, okay, that would be awesome.
Is this the second one you've mentioned?
No, it's my third.
Okay.
Magneto, Fassbender, Professor X, McAvoy. Yeah, okay. So Daredevil, Ben Affleck. The Punisher, Thomas Jane.
Nice.
Because it was R-rated, I thought we'll get a really cool set piece with, you know, Deadpool and Punisher just going back.
That would have been really cool. I think I really would have liked that, and I think that would have been a really good choice, too.
Yep.
Instead, they brought in that villain from Punisher, like the Russian guy. I don't know what his name is.
Russian guy? I didn't catch that.
He caught him. Remember the guy in the striped white shirt? Incredible catch. I didn't even realize that.
I turned to Kosi during the movie. I was like, is that the guy from Punisher?
And he's like, yeah, it's the Russian.
Nice.
We all saw Bullseye, but like the like another.
I didn't recognize that as Bullseye.
Even with the, you didn't see the no.
I thought
some of those X-Men characters are the compounds. Like I vaguely recognize you, but I'm not exactly sure who you are.
Fleming as Azazel though. That wasn't him.
Fleming? Was that the actor's name?
Yeah, Ian Fleming. Yeah,
that's the same guy who
wrote Bond.
Who wrote James Bond?
Ian Fleming. Oh no! Did I just say Ian Fleming? I'm pretty sure. No.
Here, let me look this up.
Something Fleming.
Well, while Kosi's looking that up, Aaron, you want to give us some of your list as well?
Oh, yeah. Friedrich Lini. That's not. Wow.
I'm sorry. It's actor Jason Fleming.
What? Oh, Jason Fleming?
Jason Fleming.
Hey, close enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Who is that again? That's not.
He's in a lot of Matthew Vaughn movies. Remember in Kick-Ass? Remember that guy, the bellhop that got shot in the mouth? That guy? Dr. Jekyll from Extraordinary Gentleman.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
If you saw the old.
Wait, did Matthew Vaughn do League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
No.
Okay. Thank God.
Yeah. but going back to my list, after Punisher, and then like my no way in hell this would happen, but I'll be so happy, was Tobey Maguire Spider-Man was nice. My fifth one. Like,
nice.
You know, different studio, I know, but like if there was like a dream pick, yeah, it would have been.
I do think they're bringing him back for Avengers 5, though.
Oh yeah, okay.
Possibly the Avengers 6.
Not 5, Wars. But I think 6 will see him. Yeah, because I don't know if you get my theory on what 5 will be, because we're not doing Kang anymore. Sorry, Jonathan Majors. But I think what we're going to do, because, you know, the Russos are, you know, supposedly coming back. And years ago, the Russos have expressed, you know, they've been excited to do Secret Wars, but one aspect of it that they wanted to do was Avengers versus X-Men. And that's nice. One where I after watching this, I think they're sowing some seeds of how that can go because of how, because in Secret Wars, the whole thing is there's this idea of incursions. Reed Richards and Multiverse Madness said, hey, incursions, like when they happen, like it pits universes against each other and one has to live and die. I think what will happen is we now have a designated universe for X-Men, which is 10,005, which we now know. That might incur with our universe of, and then you know, someone has to fight it out to see who comes out on top. So yeah. I think that might be the premise of Avengers 5, but
and we've definitely seen pieces of that at the end of Multiverse of Madness when Doctor Strange is called to help what is Charlize Theron's character? I don't know. Clea, something like that. And then we saw Beast and the other X-Men in that separate world where Monica Rambeau ended up in.
I don't think that's ever happening.
Charlize Theron?
I don't think Charlize Theron is ever happening. Yeah. I don't think what's his face? Eros or what's his name?
Harry Styles.
Harry Styles.
Star Fox.
They're not. Yeah. Feige said they're not even going to do Eternals 2. So we'll see him, but they won't be in an Eternals movie.
Okay. See, now we say that, but now people are saying in the Brave New World trailer that we're seeing that Eternals. Sticking out of the planet. So
the one that came out of the planet. They're finally addressing that. I think that might be the origin of adamantium.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I've heard.
That'll be interesting.
I would love that. And again, I think we're kind of going into the.
We're tangenting just a bit here.
That trailer was awesome. You missed it, but they showed it in Dolby. That Brave New World trailer. It hits. It hits. And you're definitely really right good about that. I think just the notion that Tiamat could be because they're fighting either over it or around it or whatever, it's like a big conflict going on with Tiamat.
Heard some people say they were fighting for the metal or the ore that's inside of it, and so it could be adamantium. I don't know if you need to give it an origin if we've already established that the X-Men are just in their own little separate world and they're just going to come over eventually. Do you have to double explain?
You know, I'm not really liking this idea of just bringing in the Fox versions of the X-Men. I would rather just have my own X-Men in the MCU. I want them to do something different from what we've already seen, which is kind of why I'm not excited about Hugh Jackman being back in this movie. And I don't know if they're going to bring him back in future movies.
I think they'll bring him back for Secret Wars, but I think they are going to, they're going to recast. There's no way.
I hope they do recast.
I think they will. There's no way they're going to keep that going. Like, I think obviously with Wolverine in particular, I say take 10 years, like hold off for a bit before you do anything with them.
Here's the thing, right? I mean, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. Deadpool visited 616, which is apparently Kevin Feige's MCU, and then he went back to his own universe, which is... Right. Yeah. And so that's where Logan ends up, at least the new Logan. That's Logan. Separate universe anyway.
Okay. I'm happy about that. One thing that... Okay, so we were on your list. Mm-hmm. One thing that I had told... I might have mentioned it to you, but I had told a couple of my friends that I would hope happened. Something that I would hope happened, but I was like, there's no way they're going to do it. Mm. I was kind of hoping they'd bring Laura in to be the new Wolverine.
Oh, that would have been great.
And if they find a way to do that, I'll be okay with it. That's the only Fox character that I'm like, she deserves more.
So bring Daphne Keene as the new Wolverine. I would actually, I'd like that.
Yeah.
I never even considered her, actually,
That's what happens with X-23. Wolverine dies in the comics. I think he gets covered in adamantium or something like that. Mm-hmm. Laura takes over for him, and she becomes the new Wolverine for a little bit of time, and then the universe is reset and all that. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I can't remember too well, but I did think that would be a cool way to bring back Laura. That's the only person that'd be cool.
Gotcha. So like, I'm down also to pick and choose particular people. Like someone like a Wolverine, I can say we can have our Wolverine in the 10,005 universe. We'll know him and it's Hugh Jackman. But you know, let's have our new whoever it is, God bless whoever the person they get for it, and have them just in our main continuity. I think that's what they're going to do with, well, with Fantastic Four. I think what they're going to do, which I think they should do with X-Men, is I believe they're going to say they're from a other reality, and they're going to be brought here and stuck and just plucked in our own.
That's totally acceptable for the Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four, they tend to do things like that.
Do you think it would work for X-Men? Because in our in the MCU's history, the events of the X-Men haven't either happened or we just don't know about them at all.
No, because I think it's really important for the X-Men where they're not intruders from a different universe and they're actually born like that, just like the regular humans. I think that's pretty core to the X-Men lore.
You know what? Yeah.
Continue where you were in your list. I think you were, I guess, number three.
No, I got to the end of it. So just go back to the list. So Michael Fassbender, Magneto, Professor X, James McAvoy, Daredevil, Ben Affleck, The Punisher, Thomas Jane, and like my crazy out there choice was Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So my list.
Let's hear it.
We don't share a lot of things in there. Number five was I wanted to see some form of Omega Red. I really like that
Omega
character.
Red.
So would you have taken Mickey Rourke's version from Iron Man 2?
Well, he wasn't Omega Red. He was like the Crimson Dynamo.
He was Whiplash.
Crimson Dynamo and Omega Red.
No.
Well, from what
it was Crimson Dynamo and there was...
Whiplash.
Whiplash isn't a real character, though. It's like a combination of two
characters. Yeah, I know they combined
them. There's another guy with a whip, but what? I think it's...
Okay, I thought Omega Red was...
Is Whiplash a real character?
No. We can pull it up, Jamie.
We can cool that up.
Let's see.
Well, while one of us is looking that up, yeah, Aaron, tell me, Red Dynamo, you said? I haven't actually heard of this
Crimson
character.
Dynamo?
Crimson Dynamo.
Oh, yeah, Crimson Dynamo, I think, is the Russian guy who, he has, like, the same backstory, and then powers-wise, there was a different guy that...
Yeah, so the name Whiplash was just a name just given to that amalgamation of them. It's not an act. The Whiplash
who
Marvel...
What was it an amalgamation of? It was Crimson Dynamo and some other person. Anyways, Omega Red is part of the X-Men universe, and he was part of Weapon X.
Okay.
That's why I really thought they would bring him in. It was, you know, they had Lady Deathstrike, they had Sabretooth, they had Deadpool, they had Wolverine, and I was just like, you know who would fit in this in this environment? Omega Red. You know, that's just like a personal... I remember
seeing him in the OG X-Men show. Like, I remember seeing him.
He was there in X-Men 97. I don't know if you noticed.
Okay. Yeah, I remember. I don't have much interaction with him.
He's a threat. He's a problem because if you get too close to him, he has these spores that he radiates that, like, eat you and, like, make you sick and kill you. Okay. Over time. But yeah, he's a fun character, so I was kind of hoping we'd see some version of him in there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he is a lot like the Mickey Rourke version, and we don't need to see two of those.
Right,
in a
right.
It's already this packed.
Yeah.
So I'm just fine with that. Number four, I did want to see Colin Farrell's Bullseye.
We got close.
I had heard Jennifer Garner was in there. Like, by the way, when I made this list, I want to make sure it wasn't anyone that I had heard was leaked in this movie.
Same here. I try to stay away from the leaks as well.
And I was like, Colin Farrell, Bullseye. That's the that guy was so much fun.
He's on such a kick too, Colin.
He's the best part of that movie, and I think it's a shame that they didn't bring him back.
Arguably, you could even say it's almost his movie in a way, because he steals every scene he's in.
Every scene he's in, he absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, somehow he managed to make that script work for him. He was just fun to see on screen.
Like, a lot of the stuff was, like, definitely stuff that he was not on the page. Colin Farrell, like, definitely brought that in. And as a kid, I remember just being like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
I'm scared of him. Like... But it's like, he's cool.
So much,
like,
charisma. With such a dumb script.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. We love you, Colin Farrell. We love you, man.
Number three, I wanted to see James Marsden Cyclops.
Yes.
That would have been...
I would have liked to see that.
He and Wolverine, like, he never got his due in the original X-Men movies.
Yeah,
this seemed to be one of those movies that would hopefully give him more time to shine.
He went out sad in Last Stand. I don't like it. Don't like it at all. We didn't see him go out. So, yeah, I would have loved that.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Okay, number two is a two-parter.
Okay.
And we did get part of it. Ian Grufford and Chris Evans as Reed Richards and Johnny Storm.
That was more
I wanted to see Johnny Storm, but I had just seen Ian Grufford in a movie recently, and I was like, maybe he's getting back into acting. That would be cool.
That misdirect was well done and well executed. I legit thought Captain America.
I saw it coming. I saw it coming like right when he said he's gonna say it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be a misdirect.
It was the red gauntlets for me.
Nice.
For some reason, I was like, oh, it's Cap, because he has blue, the red. He's a wanderer Cap.
I kind of had a feeling that they would do that joke where they would pretend as Captain America, and then he would say flame on.
It was brilliant.
It was a good joke. I really liked that they had that in there.
Yeah.
And then my number one hope, which is a shame that it wasn't actually in the movie, and it's actually disappointing to me, Liev Schreiber's Sabretooth.
I would have preferred to see him than the one from.
He's that we better got. Than Tyler Mane, but Tyler Mane is more iconic as Sabretooth to like general audiences. That's the thing.
I think that's fair because The Wolverine. Wait, no, not X-Men Origins is not like beloved, but right?
Liev Schreiber was amazing.
Yeah, Liev Schreiber, Colin Farrell, was the best part of that movie. He's so much fun to watch.
Yeah. He's more interesting than the titular character. So yeah, man.
Yes, absolutely. That is a guy. I feel like that was like a real fail not getting Liev Schreiber back in there. And even with Tyler Mane, like I personally really, really like the character of Sabretooth. Like I like their feud, Sabretooth and Wolverine, in every iteration.
Are they brothers?
It's like Sabretooth's history is really mysterious. It changes occasionally.
Yeah, I don't know much about
that. Nobody does. There's no real backstory to him. He's just a really sadistic dude that hates Wolverine, and we don't know why. And I like
that. That's all we need, yeah.
And I was really excited to see Tyler Mane Sabretooth in there. Mm. Although I would have preferred Liev Schreiber. Mm. I hate what they did with that.
It was...
Because I saw it coming. Marvel tends to do this a lot. And I was very, very disappointed in it because it did bring back Multiverse of Madness.
It felt very Rick and Morty-ish to be like, hey, isn't this cool? Let's squish it in front of you and throw it away.
And
because it's meaningless.
That really, it was meaningless is what it was. And they did that with Chris Evans,
too.
Oh,
my God. Did they ever? But, my goodness. That's a Mortal Kombat shit.
I mean, this movie was so overstuffed with characters as it is. It's like, I can let them slide with some of those, right?
It was messing with the budget, as they say.
Because honestly, and that's one of the great things about this film, right? They didn't give us those. We got cameos, but they didn't feel like gratuitous throwaways. Like people got to actually do things,
It was a great blend.
Yeah, with a team that we kind of saw form towards their climactic fight.
The good team up that they had, those cameos. I like the way they did those completely.
Yeah,
it was just those two in particular. Tyler Mane, because I was excited to see Sabretooth, and then Chris Evans, which they gave a good excuse. It was a high budget.
It was a fun joke. Yeah, I mean, they even went back to it for the post.
Like, I was like, but that joke kind of was a great little like button on top. But I guess going into the other cameos that were in there, Elektra, it was awesome to see her.
She was fun.
Yeah.
She was fun. Daniel almost cried seeing Blake. It's been 20 years since
really
Blake.
Good.
I really like that.
And I'm like,
had a great opportunity to bring in Hannibal Kane.
They mentioned it. I don't know if you
did.
They he alluded to. He's like, I never liked
you.
That's what that was.
I didn't catch that.
The you never did was like, yeah, we've done this before.
I forgot they hated each other.
And they hated each other. Yeah.
Wow, that's so funny.
I don't know what happened, but it was
Ryan
like,
Reynolds kept fucking with him. That's what it was.
Okay, that's what happened.
And like Wesley Snipes was apparently like, I am an actor. And that's why he just became so difficult on set. If I'm remembering correctly.
I'm glad they like they're able to like patch that up. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I completely missed that.
No.
Okay. So just big picture for a moment. We've talked about our predictions. We've talked about kind of general impressions. Aaron, you were feeling a bit mixed on it. Is that fair to say?
I thought it was okay. I probably wouldn't watch it again.
Really?
But I left the movie I liked it. Okay. I liked it. They did enough good stuff in there for me to be like, this is a good movie.
Yeah.
But if there's someone who's like, if you're invested in the Marvel movies or if I'm so I really like the Fox movies. I really like the X-Men in general. Mm-hmm. So this movie should have been like a home run for me, and even doing like bare minimum stuff. But I feel like they kind of missed the mark on a couple of things. It felt very corporate. And part of that is because they had the cameos, but everything, like you said, felt meaningless. The Johnny Storm cameo, like Channing Tatum, who was awesome, by the way. It just didn't feel like the send off that I was hoping for. Like, okay. I feel like they brought back Wolverine just for like a lame joke. And it's fine. I still enjoyed the movie, but it didn't blow me away, you know?
You didn't feel as though, like, the reason, like, this Wolverine we saw, like, you didn't... How'd you feel about his whole, like, arc? Like, his whole journey to,
not like, enough of it. Like, okay. It didn't hit enough of the emotional notes that it needed to. Mm. You know, if you're gonna tell a Wolverine story, you know, just tell the story.
Did you need to see a third act flashback or?
I don't think so. Okay. I think it's just. I think the movie was trying to juggle too much that it didn't. It
definitely was.
It had a lot going on in it, and they just didn't have time to tell a good character arc for this.
Two hours. I was kind of shocked at how short. Usually, it's like I thought it'd be a 2.5 hour movie, but no.
Definitely keeps you engaged throughout. I would say
I actually appreciated the pace of this movie. There was to me, there wasn't really anything wasted in terms of getting to the story, getting to like the heart of what it is. I don't think they wasted a lot of time or scenes in here.
You know what it is? I think everybody did well except the director,
Sean Levy,
because he's the main guy in charge of things, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't understand anybody's motivations. Like, what's going on with
Aaron? I'm glad you bring that up because I think first, I unabashedly, I love this movie. I thought that was awesome. It was definitely a love letter to the fans, and I felt that throughout. But I think the story was the weakest aspect of it.
Yeah.
If you're not already tuned in to Loki and the TVA and multiverse and all that, you're probably going to be, there's a good chance you're going to be lost.
All the Wolverine movies.
Tuned into it.
Yeah.
And he was lost.
Yeah, no, it's rough. I mean, how is Deadpool in 616? And then he goes back to his own universe, which is separate from the Fox universes that have already been collapsed into the void. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Like, the basics of a superhero movie I thought were missing. Like, I didn't know what the bad guy, Cassandra Nova,
think she's a great villain.
Emma Corrin was great.
Cassandra Nova, I was always under the impression, like, I don't read too much Marvel, but I was always under the impression that she was just a female Professor X from a different dimension, right? Who could walk?
it's even crazier than that. She's like his evil, like, and an evil entity that from his universe, like, they were in this. She said it in the movie. That's happened.
They were in the same womb, and he tried to choke her with the umbilical cord, supposedly.
I didn't know she could do all the crazy stuff she was doing. Could somebody explain what was happening to these people in this
movie? Can I just say the hand, that whole visual of her putting, it's so great.
I loved it.
Never seen that before. So cool.
Underneath like Deadpool's mask, but also underneath the Paradox's skin, so you see the fingers.
Very nice touch.
The bones in her finger. It's great. Yeah. I think she just has telekinetic powers.
Does she? Okay.
That's basically what it is. Sure. She has telekinetic powers.
I'm there with it. What does she want? What was her deal?
So apparently she had a deal with the TVA where it's like, okay, I'll stay in the void and keep you all happy, but I basically get to rule it, right? I'm going to be God down here.
Because outside she was just too damn dangerous to them. She's like, all right, just stay there.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then towards the end, she lets Wolverine and Deadpool go because Wolverine gives her that, you know, dramatic speech. But then she's like, oh, wait, there's a way to destroy all universes and just leave the void and me in charge of everything? Well, that sounds just peachy keen. Let's go for it. Yeah. So she just tries to destroy the multiverse all of a sudden.
Okay. That doesn't seem like the motivation of somebody who just saved our hero's lives like two scenes earlier.
Does not, no.
Right? And they even alluded to, like, why are you like this? She's like, I don't know, I'm just the bad guy of the movie.
to me, that's bad writing, right?
I think it teeters on, like, there's a way to be, like, self-referential and self-aware, and then, like, it kind of gets bad where you gotta, you know, you can't say, and have it not land. So I see what you mean.
And I know it sounds like I'm being hard on this movie, but there was genuine parts in there where I was like, I was hitting Kosi because I was laughing so hard. Like some of those jokes were really landing with me.
Gambit in particular, he said some stuff. I don't want to repeat it, but he said some stuff where it felt like vintage Channing Tatum, 2012 Channing Tatum.
I couldn't repeat it because I couldn't understand a word he said. And
I'm See, well, now I want to know, what would his Gambit movie have been like? Was he going to lean into the silly like we saw in this, or was he going to play it straight?
A little bit of Jump Street, but like more serious, but with Jump Street-isms in it, I think it would have been like.
So when back when they were talking about these solo movies, it was three solo movies. Well, two solo movies that they talked about, but just kind of made it into. So the first one was X-Men Origins Wolverine, where we'd learn about him. That's why it had that title, X-Men Origins. Yeah. The next one was going to be X-Men Origins Magneto, which turned into First Class. And then there was going to be X-Men Origins Gambit. But then Gambit got kind of mushed into X-Men Origins Wolverine. Magneto turned into First Class. So what we saw of Gambit, we can kind of just...
Would that have just been about him and the Thieves Guild, basically? Because that's such a great storyline.
I don't think they ever got that far in the writing.
Just preliminary stuff. Okay. Yeah. I would.
It's kind of like how there was going to be a Boba Fett movie and an Obi-Wan movie, and then they turned into those TV shows.
Oh, right. Okay, I got you.
I thought some of the stuff with Channing Tatum was just amazing because I was just laughing really hard. I was just so disappointed, though, in the action. Again, I know I mentioned it earlier.
Well, how did you feel about when we had Blade, we had Elektra, we had Gambit, and X-23 all fighting in that sequence? I thought that was great. Really?
I hated that. The idea of it, hated the execution.
Wow.
Because I couldn't see it. I couldn't see what, like, as soon as, you know, there's a shot where you have a big scene that implies that everybody's fighting. You can't see anybody fighting. None of the good guys or the bad guys. It cuts away immediately. That's something that the previous Deadpool movies wouldn't have done. There's only one good action scene that I liked, and it was the one towards the beginning where Deadpool has the Wolverine claws.
Great opening sequence.
Oh, he uses the bot.
The use of bye-bye-bye in there, too.
Do you like the... How about the bye-bye-bye... That opening credits were
that was
actually
fantastic.
My favorite of the series.
And the fact that he starts doing the choreography as well, that
Dancing
just,
Deadpool
like, come on.
Is my favorite thing that... I was howling laughing at Dancing Deadpool.
Yeah.
I thought it was it would have been good like a couple of years ago, but because we got Peacemaker doing that like maybe 2 years ago or was it?
I don't know. 2 years ago.
It felt like okay, I see what you're doing here. This feels a bit cheap. And actually, there's a Suicide Squad isekai that's on HBO that
I've been watching. That very does good. It has dance sequences as well.
Okay. I heard that was a part of it or a part of the opening, and I was like, oh, okay, is this going to become the standard now?
It just felt so uniquely Deadpool because he didn't make up choreography, right? He was doing the bye 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 choreography as the song was playing. So that was.
I liked because I think as a person, I liked the action and how it's done. I liked even. What Sean Levy carried over from Free Guy is, I think he does a good job of like that kinetic, frenetic action. I think obviously David Leitch masters that and has a really good eye for it, but Sean Levy has his own kind of like language when it comes to action, and like it's all about just utter, I guess I want to call it chaos, but it's like organized chaos, I like to call it. And just his idea, like in the beginning where like Deadpool took the camera and like he was like moving it, like basically almost as if the cameraman was in the fight as well, the way it moved and whatnot. Definitely there were a lot of cuts, I think, tangent here, cuts in like action sequences, they are kind of annoying coming off of like the raid when we watched like 12 years ago kind of showed me like, oh, when you don't put cuts in it, we're able to see the entire combo, and that's kind of how action should go. And so, like, yeah, definitely, like, there are a lot of cuts in this one, but I don't think it bothered me, like, that much because of just what he was... Because Deadpool had, like, really cool combos. Like, he'll, like... There's one. Remember where he like split, did the splits? The camera went down with him to do the splits. He came up and then like kicked the guy. He stabbed him, split, and kicked the guy in the head. Like just little itty bitty stuff that like it just made it fun to watch him. Like
yeah, those were some really good moments in there. And when speaking of things that I really liked about the action, I did like the Deadpool action, and I really liked the Wolverine action.
Oh, man.
At least towards the beginning. There's one big fight at the end that I was like, okay, I'm not really seeing what's going on here.
Oh, was it the Deadpool core fight?
That was the coolest one. It was a lot, but I think I preferred the actual one-on-one fights that Wolverine and Deadpool had.
It did get a little dizzying when they're in the bus, but only because all we saw was like an outside look at the bus and just seeing
chaos. I didn't so much need the car one. I felt like the first one we had where they were just got to see Wolverine crawl around before he attacked him. Fantastic.
I knew he could do that. I knew he can do that. That sequence was
great. The one in the Honda, I felt like, okay, we don't necessarily need this.
But I like that they established that this Wolverine does fight like that.
Yes. No, absolutely.
There's the bathroom for that, but there's a Honda fight?
Oh, yeah. You were in the bathroom for that.
Oh, you were in the bathroom. Okay.
They fought in the car. When you came back, the car was
I think I've seen in the trailer where he gets thrown out up the car. Like, he gets thrown up and, like, he flies out and his arm is, like, does one of these.
I thought it was a good fight.
Okay.
And I appreciate a good car fight.
Close quarter fight,
Additional thought on fighting in general. When we got that, I don't know what the name of that team is called. The
Anti-Avengers?
The Blade-Electra combo, whatever be. But we got some really nice just shots of them, like, kicking ass in there. I really appreciated that.
He did a thing where he did a breakdance move where he kicked the dude and threw it.
Yeah, throwing cars that explode when he calls him out later. And Blade, we had some cool callback shots from his movies.
I wish Blade had his blade. That's all he did. Like the actual,
the actual sword.
I don't know what that one was. I never seen him with that. Did Blade ever have that? The one he used in the movie. I don't know if he ever used that short one. I've never seen him use it.
I don't remember.
I don't know. Yeah. But
it wasn't the sword.
It wasn't the sword. Yeah, it wasn't it. But he used the
spinny disc.
The spinny disc.
from
Blade 2, which was...
It was Blade 1.
He had a Blade 1? Okay.
In the opening scene.
Yeah.
And since we're talking about Blade, I don't know if you guys have been following this, but there's been a bit of... Look, obviously, the production of the new Blade movie has been in development hell for a minute now. Things just have not been coming together on that.
To the point where I think Mahershala Ali might be too old to play Blade.
He might walk. We shall see how that ends. But I don't know if you guys have seen, Wesley Snipes has been a bit vocal on social media about how he's kind of poking fun at it, saying like, hey, I'm the original, I'm the best, you guys can't do it without me, I'm the secret sauce.
He said it in this movie, too.
And he said it in this movie, too. And I was shocked that they let him put that line in there.
Yeah, me too.
Dude, that's Marvel crazy. Just like laughing at, oh, look at, like, we're having trouble, but, or is it Marvel just saying...
I wouldn't even be surprised if that line is why he did the movie with Ryan Reynolds.
Hey, look, Wes.
I think Disney gives Ryan Reynolds a lot of leeway with these jokes, as we saw in this film, and he probably just pitched him like, hey, can we do this? And they're like, well, that's fine.
I think that if they're able to make fun, I think that means you're honestly still working on a Mahershala Ali Blade. If they're able to like make fun of the fact that they've had a lot of... It's frustrating as a fan of Blade. I want to see a new one. I love Mahershala Ali, so like it's really frustrating. It's been 5 years since they announced it.
Yeah.
And like we were freaking there when they announced it, and like it's been 5 years and nothing's happened, and I'm just like, well,
I think they just need to take a break from that, put that on pause.
Just stop working on it,
and then like come back to it in like 5 more years, start from scratch, maybe do a TV series or something. But they just whatever. From what I've heard of this production hell, like this sounds like a terrible movie.
Super troubled. It's super troubled.
Like, plenty of rewrites. Directors have left.
Story. Like whoever broke it, they're like, screw it. Let's go back to square one.
And that many people can't just be like, there's no way this will work. And like,
I don't believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not gonna believe that somehow it ended up good.
No, I'm definitely upset about it, but no, definitely happy to see again Wesley's looking great.
Happy to see him
looking great, man. Still got it.
He looks good for whatever age he is.
Yeah. Black don't crack, right? He's probably 100, dude.
I love that he got his famous line in there.
Oh, my
motherfucker's still trying to ice skate up here.
And he edited it. I think did he edit or is it the same one?
He said the same thing.
Already the emphasis on still.
I think it was
okay.
That was superb. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Still doesn't make sense.
What does it even mean?
What does it mean? That's what makes it great. You don't actually know, but it's still in there, you know?
Maybe, like, when, like, he probably was like, hey, Steve Martin, come over here. Hey, I got an idea. I'm going to say this really badass line, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. And, like, he uttered it. I'm like, I bet they're just like, all right, you're Wesley.
So the story is, like...
Oh, you know what happened?
Okay. Yeah, so he said it at, like, just on set somewhere, and then David Goyer just added that into the movie. And, like, the thing is, it's ice skating uphill is difficult. Some people still want to do difficult things, and that's what the implication is. The problem is, it doesn't work in where they used it in the movie.
Weren't they up on the steps, kind of on a...
Or was you know describing... what? I'll still take it either way. I know it doesn't work, but it's fantastic.
I think he was describing, like, Deacon Frost back then, all their opponents saying, y'all can't... Because ice skating uphill means you're doing an impossible task to... defeat me.
You might be right.
Interpreted.
When I saw, I don't even remember when it happened, but I do remember that line, and I remember thinking, "What?
What?"
It's just great. It's just great.
There were some really good action callbacks. Like there was a guy who shot him and then got blasted away.
He didn't do the smirk.
No, he didn't do the smile.
I wanted the smirk, but
the only people who appreciate the smirk.
It was enough for me because not enough people out there like appreciate Blade was the first, I guess, Marvel movie. Like, in its credits have the pages of Marvel flowing. Like, but it's a New Line movie. It's R-rated. It's 98. It was like before anyone even cared. So like, it didn't really get a lot of like love. And like 2 years later, we got X-Men. So it's like it straight up got forgotten. It had a whole trilogy of films, but like normally like looks back at them as like, even though Blade 2 is amazing, but like normally looks back at them like fondly. So it's cool to see him get his shine.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the X-Men get the credit for establishing this new wave of Marvel movies. Yeah. And Blade, I'm glad they got... I'm glad Blade got credit for it, too. Yeah. Or got at least a shout-out.
Another shout-out to Succession guy, Matthew McFadden.
My goodness.
He was fun. I do watch Succession. I think he
sounds so much better with a British accent. Like, he sounds so dumb in Succession.
He sounds like Peter Serafinowicz a little bit. Like, their voices are so similar, and I could have seen Peter in this role, but he's...
Oh, my gosh, you're so right.
I realized that today, like, oh, man, they sound like straight up the same dude, but it was so good to see Matthew McFadden just, like, have some fun. Like, he playing another villain-esque type character, but, like, I just loved watching him do his thing.
Cousin Chris, are you aware of who Peter Serafinowicz is?
No, who's that?
Remember in Guardians, the guy, like, John C. Reilly's talking to him, the guy next to him was like, what a bunch of...
Oh, this guy, yeah, I remember him.
Tick, the new Amazon Tick.
Gotcha.
He was also Darth Maul's voice in The Phantom Menace.
also, what?
I'm confused.
He has two lines. There's, at last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi.
Oh my gosh.
It's not Ray Park, not Ray Park's voice, just his movement.
Gotcha.
My favorite Peter Serafinowicz role, though, is his role in Spy.
Spy?
He plays a creepy agent. He's the freaking worst.
So since we're talking about TVA, I just wanted to talk to you guys about some of the concepts we saw in this movie here. Because
new concepts,
what is it, the anchor being. Yeah. Never heard of that in Loki or anything else. I'd be impressed if we hear about it again. This might be a one and done thing.
An absolute point, but if an absolute point was a person, an absolute point is an event, but it's like if an absolute point was like an actual like person in the
embodied in a single being. Yeah. That's an interesting concept. That's a way to explain
100%
it.
100% believe that even the amount of thinking you're doing right now is way more than the writers
are doing too much.
Yeah, because if you've watched Loki before, you've already seen how much goes into protecting a timeline. There are certain events that you have to prevent. We've never heard about an anchor, a single individual that kind of the universe hinges upon. That's
what Time Ripper. What the actual MacGuffin in this movie was another one we never even. I didn't know you could even like.
Right. I mean, the TVA usually uses a series of bombs, so we've never heard of a Time Ripper before.
I don't even know if the writers of this movie even watched Loki.
Nah. Well, and you know what? I'm glad we got a cameo from, I don't know her name, the actress.
Her name is Wumi Osoko.
Glad we got her in there. But
team, bro.
Yeah, that was an interesting concept. Second one, the idea that was the worst Wolverine. I don't know if we remember what happened in Logan, but he was the one who physically killed all of the X-Men.
No, Professor X did.
Professor X did.
Oh, wait, was it... Was it Professor X that did it?
Yeah.
Mistake.
It was in Old Man Logan, the comic book, Wolverine is the one who kills all the X-Men.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Yeah. So I take that back. Maybe this guy is the worst Wolverine.
He went on a crazy rampage. It's just kind of scary to even hear like that version of Wolverine just like killing not just bad people, but like just...
Old Man Logan is still the worst.
And we got that cameo, didn't we? He was one of the ones that Deadpool went to go visit.
The one that shot him on his front porch.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
We haven't talked about that, right? We got a cameo of a couple of different Wolverines.
Henry Cavill.
What?
Henry Cavill, that was great. That one was leaked. I knew about that one.
Oh, did you? You knew about that one?
Oh, you knew about okay.
Yeah, because, you know, there was all that talk about Henry Cavill being in the MCU, and then there's a YouTuber that, you know, he's always accurate about everything, Emergency Awesome. Yeah, shout out to him. But one thing that he said was that it was Henry Cavill's role was revealed to be just a variant of Wolverine in this new movie. But he did also say that Daniel Radcliffe was going to be one of the Wolverine variants.
I would have loved that.
I would have loved him to be Patch, because that's what the rumors I heard early on.
I would have loved, Eggsy. Taron Egerton. Yes. I would have loved, like, if not Henry Cavill, I would have loved Taron in that Henry Cavill role, but Cavill just looked so right. He did look right.
I think they went a little bit silly with his, Muppet chops. There we go. But beyond that, yeah, he was great.
Did y'all get the Mission Impossible reference? He cocked his hands.
Did he really?
That's
pure fan service. Love that.
That right there, I don't know if that was Henry Cavill's idea or Ryan Reynolds' idea, but one of them said, hey, do the thingy. Another cool Easter egg was, I'll give this to New Rock Stars, who are a great channel. The choreography where, in the first fight, where Wolverine and Deadpool are fighting, they were doing the exact motion that Flash and Peter were doing, the punch, punch, back, punch, punch thing. It was the same motion that Peter and Flash Thompson were doing.
I don't think there's any reason for them to call back to that fight. I like New Rock Stars, but sometimes they just kind of pull things out of left field.
They do pull things out of left field, and sometimes they're so on point that I wouldn't put it past them.
You know, because we got that, what was it, that Greatest Showman sound clip that appeared out of nowhere. It's like, oh, they're just squeezing Easter eggs in, man. It's a fun time.
That's why I was still going back to, like, I was glad they were able to get, like, a character like Blade, because that was New Line. It's not Fox, it's Warner Brothers, but, like, they were able to work out that deal. So it's like, again, I liked how this movie kind of just... paid homage to like a lot of the stuff we loved as comic book fans, but also just Ryan Reynolds fans. If you love The Proposal, there's a proposal.
That was great.
Speaking of just things like callbacks, one thing that I thought was used really effectively was every time they had the needle drop from Logan, that piano music.
Yeah.
I thought that was used very effectively and really tugged at the heartstrings. They had a scene where they flash back to that scene where he dies in Logan, and when the music kicks in, I was just like, this is the right way to do this. To pay homage to this scene.
Yeah, I really love what they did to pay some respect to X-Men and that whole Fox universe, especially with the clips at the during the credits. That was really cool.
The montage.
Yeah.
Montage made it seem like this was the end of the Fox universe. It felt very official. And at the same time, the plot made it seem like they're trying to drag this Fox universe out.
I think the true swan song will be Secret Wars. I think that'll be the true, like, you won't see him again. I think Secret Wars, we get a McAvoy. We get a Fassbender. Hell, we might even get the New Mutants. I think that's where you can bring in everybody if they wanted to. But, like, that's where I think we'd see, like, everyone coming.
I'm A-okay with that. Speaking of which, I really... some of those cameos really put a bad taste in my mouth with just how... ineffective they were for me. Like, I was happy to see them, but then they were barely on screen, and I was thinking about how that compared to a movie like No Way Home, where you had just a few cameos that played a huge important role in the storyline. And yeah, I will say the cameos didn't land as well as a movie like that.
Yeah, that's the larger debate about cameos, right? It's like, we as fans, we want to see these characters come back, but obviously they're not essential to the plot because they're just old characters that don't have any specific meaning to what's going on here. So how much screen time do they really get, right? Yeah, like, so you're balancing that, like, oh, I want to see this person, but they're not really essential. So
yeah, like, you want more than just a cameo fest, like, believe it or not. Like, as a fan, like, we love to see them, but like, make it make sense, you know?
And you know, I think that hits more to the core of why this movie wasn't as good to me as it might have been to some other people. Like, I love all those characters that they did cameos with, and this kind of felt like Luke Skywalker throwing away his lightsaber. It's like, this character that I like, they've just really been, like, they trashed him. And if any character could do that, a Deadpool movie would be the one that would do it. But, yeah. You know, it's like, I was happy with how they ended, and it just feels like we're just driving it back because of corporate greed.
Yeah. You know, my thing on cameos is, I'm just happy to see these people's back. It's okay. You don't have to give them a complete storyline. I get it. I just like seeing them. You know, right. I'm one of those.
I like to see them. I think I'm kind of torn because, you know, if they're there, they're there. But I have seen over the years just, like, people, like, cameos are brought in. And, like, Multiverse of Madness, I loved seeing Peggy Carter as Captain Carter. Because I loved seeing her in What If. And I was like, they did it. It's her. But it wasn't her, but it's her. But again, to, like, the fact he just, like, took him out. Again, it was entertaining, the scene. Same with seeing Reed Richard in there. It was great seeing him, but it was like,
I was like, I have to watch Professor X die a third time. This hurts me.
And the one we love, no offense, McAvoy, but it's like
the one in the death in Logan. Like, I was like, all right, this is great. I, like, this is a great way to go out. Like, I appreciate this. That was a good death. But then they brought him back for Multiverse of Madness just to utterly disrespect
his head ripped off.
Snapped his neck and just threw him in the trash.
Crumpled him up. I don't know. I did love the fact they had the yellow the yellow chair.
The yellow chair was a great touch. A little score from X-Men, the cartoon, was great.
It's little stuff, but then you can easily, like, you know, kind of crumble it. Depending on how you execute it. So, no, you definitely have a great
point. I'll definitely take what I can get. But, Aaron, to your point, because this concept kind of came up during the movie, I would have loved to have seen an entire film dedicated to the idea that the entire X-Men universe fell into the void, and now they're just battling it out there amongst themselves.
So a battle world.
But like, just a battle world just amongst all the Fox properties. Era. You know, like, played straight, like, okay, how are we actually surviving out here? Who's the most powerful? Who has resources?
So we'll see Jessica Alba, we'll see Michael Chiklis, we'll see Ian Gruffudd.
I would love that. I'd watch
Ben Affleck, but they're all... Oh, okay.
That's an expensive movie.
That is an expensive. Well, I mean, a lot of those people, they're not working too much these days, right?
You know.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. We would have gotten Nip Tuck guy back as Dr. Doom. What is...
Oh, yeah.
What's Nip Tuck's name, everyone?
Oh, how great would that have been to see Dr. Doom in there fighting it out for supremacy?
And
I'm glad they didn't, just because I would like to see... If the MCU brings in Doctor Doom, I want him to be fresh. Oh, I want him a new...
You know, they
have y'all seen the stories coming out about who our potential Doctor Doom might be?
I've heard a couple. Maybe it's the same thing. What have you heard?
What are you,
Robert Downey?
Well, that's not gonna, they're not going to do that.
I heard that. I didn't believe it for a second.
Hello. Basil here. I wanted to mention that Robert Downey Jr. was in fact cast as Doctor Doom later that evening. If it were up to me, it would have been David Dastmalchian. So please continue listening with that in mind. Now, back to the show.
I mean, it's an alternate universe. They can get away with
Cousin
it.
Cousin Chris, I get it.
You, who's your ideal Dr. Doom?
Ooh.
I have mine. I got mine already.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I have two.
Oh, you go first. I got to think about this.
Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett.
Oh, freaking do wow. It. That's
Josh
good.
Hartnett can do it. I believe in him. He needs to be given a chance. He hasn't given a chance at something like that, where I think he can definitely accent. He's a handsome guy. He's intimidating. He's a guy that up against, because again, he up against Pedro Pascal, they're kind of similar in age. The whole Doom and Reed like
dynamic
is so important. It's almost as important as the whole dynamic of like just the family itself. But like that Doom and Reed dynamic, I think Josh Hartnett opposite of Pedro Pascal would work. Also, what's his? Oh my God, his Oh no, what's his name? Justified.
Oh, Timothy Oliphant.
Tim Oliphant, another one. I would have wanted as a second choice, but Josh Hartnett would be my first.
Josh Hartnett's really good.
That's a really interesting choice.
Yeah, me too.
I used to have a list of my ideal Fantastic Four and who the Doctor Doom would be, but I completely forgot who it was.
You shared it in the chat years ago, but I don't
remember who I had for Doctor Doom. But when I think about it, I think a really good choice would be. Alexander Skarsgård.
Yep.
Alexander Skarsgård. Yep.
Succession.
Oh. Gotcha.
Succession. Yeah. He was the Northman, right?
The Northman.
Yeah, the Northman.
I think he's handsome enough and could also just play that really vain guy. Like he seems like the guy who would get who'd put a mask on his face if it got scarred.
If it got scarred, and blame it all on Reed Richards. No, like. Doom is, he's my favorite, I think he's my favorite villain in all of, like, fiction. Like,
he's great.
In any medium, and I just, as a kid, I actually loved the rendition of Doom from the 2005 movies. Yeah, I liked how they did. I knew he didn't have electrical powers, I knew that, but I liked how it was done, I liked how, just the whole look and whatnot, but like, you know, I knew that there was, now that I know his whole story, there's so much stuff they can do in that world, because it's science, it's magic. Doom's story is crazy. It's really, really messed up.
Yeah, it's a dude happened. Who wants to save his mom.
Yeah, and he does a really horrible thing to do.
So let me ask you guys this. If they announce RDJ tomorrow as Dr. Doom, are you disappointed or are you into it?
Not my first choice.
I'd be disappointed. But disappointed. I'm disappointed in Pedro Pascal being
I am too. Richard. I am definitely
it
too.
It just seems like the wrong choice.
Yeah.
He is not my first choice, but no. I'm willing to give him a chance.
Who's y'all's first choice?
For Reed Richards, I wanted the guy from You. I wanted Penn Badgley.
Oh, that's a good one.
Is a good one.
Because opposite Vanessa Kirby, it's like, but Reed, like, they're close. But Reed is a lot older than Sue. I get that, but like, I don't know. Pedro just wasn't my first choice.
I just wanted them to bring back Krasinski. I feel like I just felt like, okay, we've already, you know, charted our course. Let's stick with it.
I think Krasinski now has, I think he's too masculine for that role and not too nerdy enough.
Masculine. Like, interesting.
Like, I don't buy him as the smartest guy in the world.
Yeah, Reed Richards isn't going to knock you out. Reed is going to make a device that'll knock you out or like figure out other stuff. He's not like a punch.
Well, see, and that's kind of what I want to see what they do with Pedro Pascal, right? Is he going to be that ultra nerdy guy that's so distracted by the science that he neglects his wife and family sometimes? Or I
think at this point in Pedro Pascal's career, he's going to be playing Pedro Pascal again.
Honestly, I mean, we're laughing about it, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well,
yeah,
but you don't cast him to not have Pedro Pascal.
His fame is beyond. Beyond Reed Richards at this point.
Internet's dead. Yeah.
My ideal choice, and I still hope that somehow they they uncast Pedro Pascal and cast him, Jeremy Strong. Bringing it back
Jeremy
to Succession
Strong.
Again.
Wow.
He plays the oldest son.
Okay.
Kendall.
Yep, Kendall. Okay.
He's my ideal
Reed. For Reed? He was rumored. Great, yeah, great bait. One crazy one was Dev Patel, which I would not have been. I was not against it at all. Here's why:
I could see that
he could play a really smart guy. Yeah. I know it's not traditional, but like,
I'm game. I believe an Indian guy is smart.
Yeah, the smartest man alive. But he wasn't my first choice. But like, I was looking at it some more. Like him and Vanessa Kirby are like. Close in age and whatnot, but
so
yeah.
Let me one up you on that because I actually had another Indian guy in mind for Reed Richards. It's not as good as Jeremy Strong, but Rahul Kohli from not Haunting on Hill House, but the one that came after that. He's on those flanking movies.
Oh my god, yes, that guy.
What's he been in?
So he was the older brother in Miss Marvel.
No.
Is that a racism?
That's a racism.
I'm so sorry, guys.
That's actually a friend of my friend.
He's hilarious, that guy. Oh, yeah, he's great. Sorry, people.
Rahul Kohli is in Midnight Mass and Haunting on Bly Manor.
Okay.
He's also Scarecrow in Harley Quinn.
Oh, I love Harley Quinn. Okay. Good stuff.
Oh, that's Sagar Shaikh. Okay.
Shout out to Sagar Shaikh. I don't actually know him personally, but my friends know him.
So. He was great in the show. Okay. Rahul. Dude, he looks like Reed.
Yeah, I think he's great. I'm happy to see that guy in more movies.
Yeah. Okay. So, bringing it back full circle, we've seen Deadpool Wolverine now. We've talked about story, aspects of it didn't work, cameos, aspects of it didn't work, but it was great overall, I think, for me and Kosi, Aaron,
I thought it was meh. Okay. I'm more of a story kind of guy.
And that's been, like, the consensus. Like, it's been either excellent to, like, mixed, but, like...
It wasn't a bad movie.
Yeah,
no.
It did enough good.
And that's, for me, that's... Because Marvel, I think, a person I follow, John Campia, says all the time, Marvel's in a point of time where they're trying to... Well, I'm sorry, DC and Marvel are in a point of time where they're trying to rehabilitate. Mm. So this is the first of the rehabilitation process.
This is a step in the right direction.
So they just needed this to be a hit, which it is, and it to be at least a decent movie, which is a step in the right direction.
Now, you know what I feel like is important?
This
to me didn't feel like a step in the right direction. It kind of felt like a step in the same direction. And it just seems like because we've had less Marvel over the course of this year, I'm just less offended by it.
So
fans excited again, right? People are going out to theaters. They're enjoying it. I think that it's a net positive for them.
I think my biggest issue with Marvel right now is it feels like Marvel doesn't care about its heroes. And they don't make them very heroic. And Deadpool's not supposed to be heroic. He's an anti-hero. But, you know, I'm just getting the same sort of symptoms as Thor 4 or, you know, any of the other movies that were amiss for me.
That's a hot take, my friend. You're talking like story-wise, you don't feel that their arcs are...
Well, heroic? Like, they just don't feel like heroes. Well, like... It's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. Like when they've said Earth 616, I was like, "Oh, they didn't put any thought into this." Like we as fans have been putting a lot more thought into this than the makers of the movie are. Yeah, like for them, I feel like all these cameos weren't about who the characters were. It was just more like
who can we get,
who's the cheapest, and who will bring us the most money. But when people find out about the cameos.
Gosh, that's so harsh to... that's hard to say. Because Kevin Feige, he has so much love for this source material. He's so dedicated to it. And I read a book recently about the MCU, right? And there's so much improvisation as they make these films. We as fans, we think like, okay, they have everything charted out for the next 10, 15 years. Like, no, a lot of the times they're rewriting things on sets. A lot of the lines are improvised. And then they have to just kind of play catch up and fix things later on down the line.
I have to say, like, since this 2020 time though, you can see though that they're still doing that, but like the end result isn't matching up though.
Yeah,
it's been a hit.
It's been hard. They're pumping out so many projects that it's just even harder to keep that story straight. And we have the conversations like this, right? Where there's continuity errors and issues with the story all over the place. But was it entertaining?
I think they were, but I think what Aaron's trying to say, it's tough to like really show that you care and like really give a shit about this if you're kind of stretching, doing a bunch of stuff.
That's what
it's hard. No, fair. It's hard.
And as a person that I'm kind of like a what's the guy in the movie called Nice Pool? I've actually enjoyed everything since post Endgame. Like really, I've really, except for like maybe like some episodes of She-Hulk. I didn't really like some parts of Multiverse, but I've enjoyed it. But I can't deny the fact that there's just been a lot of unorganized, and there's been a lack of focus.
I don't want to conflate quality drop to we don't care. It's just like, yeah, this is still a business. We have to please our investors, our stockholders.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes story ends up taking a backseat a bit, but it doesn't mean that we don't care about these characters.
I was going to say, Kosi, if you ever put on Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, I'm leaving. I hate that movie so much.
Okay, that one I can't defend.
It's so bad.
And I'm not a guy that doesn't like movies. That's one of those like that wasn't a good outing.
And maybe you're right that saying that they don't care is harsh, but maybe I'm saying that as in like they don't care as much as I do.
Or it comes off as that as a person that's a fan of their stuff. Like, oh, this this product here, oh, it's not good. Oh, do you not care about this? Like, y'all were doing this 10 years
ago. Yeah, and maybe, like, hey, if they're giving that impression to the fans, that's an issue that they need to address, right?
I think that's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, that's like, perfectly fair.
Do y'all even care about this?
And when it comes to superheroes, like, superheroes are, like, the oldest story in the book. Like, Jesus is, like, a superhero story.
What?
Well, I'm not saying...
We're going to edit that out later, don't worry.
But, like, we're drawn to these stories like the Iliad and Odyssey about heroic people doing heroic things, but ultimately the story should take precedence. And I think without Robert Downey Jr., and, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is probably responsible for this vibe in the first place, they're still relying on that 2008-2010 style humor of, like, nothing matters anymore, and we as an audience have grown since, like, the last couple of years. Like, we need superheroes. We need some heroic images on screen, and I don't think Marvel's cutting it in terms of what we need. Like, I look at a movie like Aquaman 2 and how bad of a movie that was, and I look at how genuine every single person was in the movie except for Jason Momoa. Mm. And, like, seeing the genuine nature of all these other actors, like, really giving it their all, like, it made me feel good to see a hero win over the bad guys. Whereas this didn't feel good. Like, this felt like a corporate product to me.
Gotcha.
And that's what's been happening for not just Marvel movies, but it's been happening with every Disney property, whether that be Star Wars, Indiana Jones, even to The Little Mermaid. And they I feel like all these Disney properties, after that year that Endgame and Infinity War came out, and they were just making, like, billions.
Everything was $1 billion. Every was a hit.
Now I think they're trying to make every movie $1 billion, so they're trying to appeal to every audience, and by that they're appealing to no audience at all.
Fantastic point. Fantastic point.
And this movie did have, like, this is definitely better than, say, Quantumania or Thor 4 or even Multiverse of Madness. And I did like a lot of parts of Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, same here.
But you know, it still had that. Those symptoms of, you know, just being a corporate product.
But do you think that...
A lack of heart, if you will.
Okay. Do you think Deadpool Wolverine, though, was made... I don't think it was made for everybody. I think this is a movie made for Deadpool fans and comic... It was very...
Yeah.
Tuned was, in, yeah. Finger on pulse of what its audience would like. So I like that Marvel's doing this, because they wouldn't have made this maybe 2-3 years ago, I think.
I think there was a heart of the story that they missed out on in favor of putting some jokes. And I think that would have been the relationship between Deadpool and Morena Baccarin. I forget her character. Vanessa. And, you know, they did bring her in at the end, sort of, but it still felt very inconclusive. Yeah.
Their relationship, their love was actually handled better in 2. That's my favorite of their whole relationship, was Deadpool 2.
And 1.
But I think 2 kind of brought it home, but yeah, I hope this would bring it to another, do something new with it. But yeah, kind of.
And that's kind of the only thing I will say about that, though, right? Like, in 1 and 2, the story has been centered around their love for a lot of it. So I don't know if I necessarily needed that for 3. Oh, yeah. So I was okay with that kind of taking a backseat.
I think that was just like something I noticed. I'm cool with them bringing Wolverine in this 3rd one. It kind of felt like a natural progression. No, that I was making an observation about him and Vanessa. Yep.
I kind of. I was kind of wondering. I was like, are they going to bring in Famke Janssen for...
Look, man.
Who?
Jean Grey.
Jean Grey. That's his original...
I would have loved to seen a cameo from, like, the original core cast of the X-Men. That would have been great.
They got a mention. I love that. They all got a mention.
When they did get that mention in there, like, when he started saying people's names, I just felt so good inside. Mm-hmm. I was just like, man, I love that crew.
I think a lot what made this movie also work was... I could just tell that Sean Levy and just Ryan, well, I'm sorry, Ryan Reynolds in particular, he's just the nerd. He's one of us. And Kevin Feige was there from the beginning. That's where Kevin Feige and Hugh Jackman met on the set of the first X-Men. Like, Kevin Feige was like a producer or whatever. He's the one who famously told Bryan Singer to like, no, have Hugh Jackman, like, put his hair up like that. 'Cause Bryan Singer didn't want to do that. Like, that was Kevin Feige that, like, fought for, like, the little stuff back then, but, like, now it's like it means everything. And, like, it took, you know, 25 years to get the yellow suit. So like, I think what I love most about this is like the you could feel the love Brian Mendels had for Fox, and also his love for the MCU. It's not all peachy. Like, he kept making a reference, like, the multiverse is, it's dead at miss after miss after miss.
He's in on the joke, right? They know what people are saying about it.
You're coming to the low point. It's like, I love that, because, like, who else but Deadpool to make that? And I hope Marvel, again, this is their only movie of the year. Again, as a lifelong fan, I'm still going to be a fan of their stuff, but I hope they take this as a, all right, here's what's possible. Here's what we can do. We made fun of ourselves, but they're definitely going to pull back on what they're doing and focus more on the quality of their stuff. And I just hope by the time the first Avengers movie, that fifth one, comes out, we'll know what's happening going in. Because one thing I kind of didn't like was it didn't really set up stuff going forward. Yeah. To me, I wasn't satisfied with what's going to happen. That end credit scene, I thought would set up. It was a funny tag, but like, I thought we were going to get like something moving forward, which,
and I'm okay with that, honestly, because I think they need some time to kind of slow down. Let's think, where are we actually going with this multiverse storyline now that we've had to switch directions with our Kang and Jonathan Majors, all of that. So I'm fine with them not telling us what's next just yet. And it's good that Fantastic Four is in a separate universe. They can just play there, do what they want with it, not have to worry about how it affects the main story until they kind of get it together.
I feel that.
I disagree with both of y'all on this. I look back at a movie like Guardians of the Galaxy. You know what got me to be excited about Guardians of the Galaxy?
The first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first one. Like, I'd never heard of Guardians of the Galaxy, but I heard that Thanos was going to be in it, and in the trailer they showed the Infinity Stone as a key plot point. Mm. I was like, okay, this is actually going to affect the larger overarching story. And that's what really got me interested in watching that movie. And turns out it was great.
Right.
Fell in love with the characters. Yeah. At this point, I don't know where they're going. All they've told me is just that big timeline of movies that are going to come out.
That's it.
And I'm just like, okay, well, I haven't found a real reason to care about these characters. Like we mentioned earlier, or like I mentioned earlier, I'm not really seeing the heart in a movie like Quantumania or... Black Panther 2 was also kind of like it was to me, because they tried to introduce too many things, and I didn't really.
For Black Panther 2, I'll just, not to go on it too much, I think they had just a monumental task to do.
Yeah.
Not to say that's the reason, but I think that's why it was a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
That's why.
I will say I could not care less about Riri Williams.
You don't like Riri Williams?
I didn't say I didn't like her. She seems fun. I just don't know her.
You don't care about the character.
Like, if someone told me we're going to have an Ironheart movie, I'm like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. Sure. No, fair.
And Aaron, that's fair. To your point, I see what you're saying here, because we were very spoiled from phases, 1 through 3. Fairly tight storytelling, I mean, with some minor misfires and things like that, but overall we could see kind of the trajectory of the story and where it was going, right? Mm-hmm. Big complaint about this multiverse arc, this phase, is that it's kind of all over the place. We don't know where is it heading, where are they going. In that sense, I'm okay with them doing kind of these standalone things until they kind of correct the ship and have a proper course. I don't want them to rush into locking into a concept like they did with Kang, and then it just falling apart on them, right?
Or Klee at the end with Charlize Theron, and it doesn't go anywhere.
They've earned some grace to kind of correct the ship here, and I'm willing to kind of give them a bit more time, especially after Deadpool and Wolverine.
Right.
This bought them time, Deadpool and Wolverine.
I'll give them some time, and this did, I agree. It totally bought them some time.
But you're right, it wasn't... I feel as though it was a step, but I can definitely... I see your point of, like, it wasn't a step, it was like a... they're in mud, and the foot went up and back down.
Yeah.
I think the foot went up and went forward, but you think, no, it just went up straight back down.
It seems like, much like the first Deadpool movie, you know how they called out that, superhero landing, but then did the superhero landing.
Yeah.
Like, everything that they called out... they just did it anyways with the movie. Even this one, like, they know that the MCU's bad, but they haven't figured out a way to address this problem.
All they can do is like laugh at it with the rest of us. I guess
at the same time, they understood that the heart of Logan was Daphne Keene. Yeah. Like, they knew that element is something that we'd appreciate as an audience.
Sorry, that was a great scene by the fireplace with them, with her just talking to like...
Movie needed that scene.
She knew it wasn't her Logan, but it was a Logan that she wanted to say the stuff she hadn't said yet, but she knew that he needed to hear. It was really, really layered. And just,
we
was
need great. More yeah. of those scenes in yes. superhero movies yes. in general. Yes. Just where people talking, ideas bouncing across. Like, that's why I love Civil War so much. It's just a... That scene where they're just in a room talking about ideas and what these people stand for. Like, that's the thing about a superhero in general. They don't just represent a guy with powers. They represent ideas, and you don't get that in superhero movies anymore.
Yeah. Aaron, I'm so happy you said that, because Kevin Feige, he loves those scenes as well. He calls them campfire scenes. After, Star Trek V, I believe he said.
He loves Star
Trek. There was a great scene between Spock and Captain Kirk and all that.
Yeah.
And that inspired him. And he feels that those need to be in every movie at some point. Those campfires.
I'm not going to spoil it for audience members or for you, Cosi. Yeah. But that campfire scene in Attack on Titan is an incredible episode of television.
Is it like yes.
It's just a bunch of people in front of a campfire just talking about stuff.
Yeah.
And it is so heavy and, like, not drama, but, like, tension-filled.
That show is like, bleak, man. It's cool, but it's bleak.
It's bleak, it's good, but I really like scenes like that. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's perfect.
Hold
that's
on,
perfect.
Audience, please watch Attack on Titan if you haven't heard of it before, if you live on the rock. It's a great show.
I know I've been very harsh on this movie. I've been saying a lot of things that I don't like, but I don't want audience members to feel like this wasn't a good movie to me. Like, I did like the movie. So many jokes worked well for me. I was laughing throughout.
Would you recommend people to go out and see this?
I don't know, because actually, as we were leaving the theater, my friend texted me and was like, I don't know if I should see Deadpool and Wolverine. Have any of y'all seen it yet? And I was like, I just saw it. And he was like, should I go to the theater to watch it? And I was like, if you're not really invested in Fox, just stay home and watch it there.
Okay, like, but if you're like a big fan of the Fox X-Men MCU, you would say...
I'd say see it quickly, avoid spoilers.
Actually, that's a good one.
I'm so glad a lot of these jokes weren't spoiled for me. I didn't listen to any...
Absolutely.
I laughed so hard at some of these things.
That's very funny.
Again, Gambit had... I think my biggest laugh of the movie was from Gambit, with what he said about him being born and just the whole process of him being made. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I think I was obnoxiously laughing, and I'm sorry to anyone in the theater.
Was I was like hitting you.
Yeah, I was hitting you. I was like, I'm sorry, man, but this is ridiculous what he's saying.
Like, there was so many good laughs, and I really, really, I liked it. I liked it a lot, but there's so much about it that just didn't feel... like a step in the right direction for me. It was a lot of more of the same.
Gotcha. No, I love that, Aaron. I'm glad you shared that point of view, right? A lot of people are going to come out of this and say, like, hey, MCU is back on track. Others are going to be like, hey, it's mixed. I don't know. I think we're still in the mud here. So,
no, definitely in the mud.
Definitely go watch it for yourself. Go check it out if you can. I think it's a net positive for the MCU. I think at least it's going to make money, right? And that's what they need right now. It's
definitely made us money. $200 million plus movie and counting. So, yeah. But
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Are you about to give your review?
No, I was just saying, I just made a bunch of money, so yeah.
How would you compare it to the X-Men prequels?
Oh.
Okay. So this Deadpool Wolverine compared to like...
Where would you put it in between...
Where do we rank as an X-Men movie?
Yeah.
Days of Future Past is still the best. So
yes, I would agree with that.
I would put First Class underneath that.
Yep.
Then I'd put... X2 underneath First Class. No, I'm sorry. I'll put X2 over First Class. Then First Class is number 3.
Wow.
And after First Class, I think I'd put the first Deadpool. Then right after that, I'd put Deadpool 3. And then kind of all the rest kind of fall.
Wait, where would you put Deadpool and Wolverine?
Deadpool Wolverine will be right after Deadpool, which will be in like... sixth in my list of like best all time. It's like sixth best all time in my opinion.
I completely disagree with your entire list.
What's your list? Let's hear what's your list.
So number one to me is obviously like one of the greatest superhero movies ever made, Logan. Logan.
I actually forgot Logan. I'm trying to figure out what I think it's. I'd still put Days of Future Past over Logan.
I wouldn't.
But I'll put it two. Logan would be my two.
Logan's number one. X2 is 2 for me. I love that movie.
Amazing.
It's like one of the better movies like in terms of superhero
it's
movies. Like,
it's Spider-Man too good.
Then I would put X-Men First Class.
Okay.
Then the first X-Men.
Okay.
Then I would put...
any of the Deadpools?
Oh, I forgot to put in Deadpools. Wait, no, I'd put in Days of Future Past.
As a two, right?
As a... Is that like number five? What is it? Okay, Logan first, mm-hmm. X2, mm-hmm. First Class, mm-hmm. Then X-Men 1.
X-Men 1, okay, that's your fourth, okay.
Then Days of Future Past.
X-Men number five, okay.
And then Deadpool 1.
At number six, okay.
And then I'd probably put this right below Deadpool 1.
Yeah, that's where I put it. It was
six. That's number seven, yeah.
Okay, seven for you, okay.
Oh, gosh. Look, I'm going to go by rewatchability and entertainment value, and for me, I got to put Days of Future Past at number one. I'm going to go First Class after that. I'm going to do first Deadpool after that, and then Deadpool Wolverine.
No love for Logan from either of you guys.
I'll be honest with you guys. I'm not the biggest Logan fan, you know. It just...
Really?
It felt a bit slow to me, and I understand what they were going for, right? It's a bit more of a Western. It's a proper send-off to the character, yeah. But... I like a bit more action too. I like a bit more high energy.
That's fair.
So I respect what they did, but it just wasn't for me, and that's okay.
I think it's James Mangold's best movie, man. Yeah. I think it is, and I love 4v Ferrari. You know, I love the Wolverine. I think it's the best work he's done. But yeah, it's a slow burn.
Slow burn.
Yeah. I think it's well earned. But
you know what I would put surprisingly right below. Deadpool and Wolverine, which I know audience members are going to be like, we can't trust this guy's opinion at all. I would say X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Above Deadpool and Wolverine?
Right below.
Oh, right below.
Right below Deadpool and Wolverine.
Really?
Yeah. They do a lot of stuff right with that movie. I might be the only person in the world who thinks that movie's not that bad.
Fascinating.
I don't hate it, but I just don't remember it.
The action's really good in there.
I remember the train sequence.
I remember
that.
You know.
The train sequence was good. I remember that. There's a scene where they're just like crossing the street and fighting each other, and I was just like, man, this is great. Like, it was like, I was on par with the action in Civil War for me.
Okay, everyone.
That was that director's first movie, right?
Yeah. Simon Kinberg, that guy.
Like, all he did was what, animation before that?
No. He wrote it. He worked on some Star Wars stuff with Dave Filoni and them. Like, but he never did anything live action until Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, I feel like it.
I was really surprised when I left that movie. Like, I was like, damn, that was actually much better than I thought.
And that was like the send-off. Like, hey, we're being bought out by Disney. This is the last one you'll ever see. So, like, I think a lot of people, like me, just was like, I guess we don't even need to watch this. Same with New Mutants. I was like, what? Why are we even...
I didn't even watch New Mutants.
It's all right.
I watched it.
The one I absolutely hated, X-Men Apocalypse, was the worst.
See, and I like the action in X-Men Apocalypse.
The opener is amazing.
I think it's a fun time.
The opening to Apocalypse is awesome.
That was a crazy opening.
And that's it. But the opening is incredible. I'll fight anyone on that.
And this is why film is so much fun, right? It's so subjective. It can hit two people completely differently. Oh yeah,
it's awesome, dude. And I want to just thank both of y'all.
Yeah, Kosi, thank you so much for having me, man.
Plug in the week.
Oh man, if you want to, yeah, So this point, viewers, we're gonna do our plug of the week.
Okay, plug of the week.
Go first, Aaron.
I hadn't really thought about this, so if you have one and you want to go first, I just assumed it was part of the show.
No, I didn't. But if we can, I can definitely edit this. So like,
okay, you know what was something I really enjoyed? Mm-hmm. Episode 5 of The Acolyte. I watched the first episode of The Acolyte, and I was like, this show kind of sucks. And then I got like 3 minutes into the second episode, and I was like, yep, definitely not for me. So I just stopped watching it. But I had heard episode 5 was really good, and I was like, okay, let me check this out. So I skipped all the other episodes, watched episode 5. Awesome. That is some great Star Wars action.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a big, long 20-minute fight scene. and they did not disappoint. Really, really fun to watch. I recommend it for both of you guys. I don't know if you've seen The Acolyte or at all, but
I have. I've seen two episodes of it.
Was one of them episode five?
No, I just the first two. I did like. I remember you had a comment about like the fighting of the Jedi. It is. They were as cool as they were. You're right. They weren't moves a Jedi would do, but. They're so cool shit to see. It's really cool. You're right, though. A Jedi would not do that.
I grew up on the prequels, and I've watched Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace probably has the biggest impact on my life as a lover of film. Mm. And I know it's not the best movie, but...
It's beloved.
I adore that movie. And part of that is how well the action was filmed. And, you know, I like how in the prequels... All the Jedi, like, there are actual fighting styles that the choreographer had in mind. And going into The Acolyte, the fighting was, well, at least in the first episode, it was a lot more East Asian martial arts. Like, it was something out of a kung fu movie, which is fine, but, like, they've established that the Jedi at this time had a particular fighting style, which... In episode 5, the villain of the show makes himself known, and his fighting is very similar to the fighting that we see in the prequels from the villain in there. And I think they, like,
gotcha.
Palpatine in the animated series, like, the villain in episode 5 fights a lot like him, and I thought that was awesome to see in live action.
I want to, I guess, plug within your plug of the week, Man Crush Manny Jacinto. He's in the show, right?
Yeah,
he's love in that the guy show. From the Good Place. Man Crush of Mine, Manny Jacinto. Is he doing okay? Is he cool in the show?
Is he alive?
You know exactly what his character arc is going to be. It is not hidden at all.
Okay.
Okay. But it's fine. It's all fine. Right. I'm fine.
I'm just a big fan of his. So yeah, it's good to see him and stuff. Isn't Daphne King's in there, right?
Daphne King is okay. in there.
Cool. 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 All right.
I just want to plug that. Also, another plug just while I'm here. Mm-hmm. My Adventures with Superman is a
That's a good one. Show. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like that show. Are you guys watching it?
I am. So,
seen the first. It reminds. It's. I like. They're not trying to do the Superman show from the 90s. But
no.
It's definitely. You can tell they watched it. And that's about it. But they're not beholden to. I got vibes of that. Definitely got vibes of Justice League Unlimited, which in a way I got vibes of that. It felt like a really cool amalgamation of like what we love about Superman, but in a really fresh way. Lois is great.
They did a great job with that character.
They make some core changes to the Superman lore that I don't think work, but the show is good enough on its own. Like, if you pretend like you don't know Superman's lore, I think it works really well.
I treat them just like Elseworlds. Elseworlds, like their origins are just different from what we're like accustomed to. So I let these Elseworld interpretations give them some leeway. But yeah, definitely not what we're used to. But no. Fantastic double plug, man. I love that. keeping in the comic realm, my plug of the week is a comic run called Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. So this is it ran from 2011 to 2012. They're a really, really short run, just a year old, and it's kind of self-explanatory. There's a Deadpool variant, not the Prime Deadpool, but it's like a different... No, I'm sorry. Deadpool, a different Deadpool, different from the Prime one, goes and just starts wreaking havoc on all of Marvel, and it's, you know, he fights Captain America, fights Hulk, fights everyone, and just, you know, just kind of takes them all
Spider-Man,
out. Spider-Man.
Taskmaster.
There's a cool... I'm looking at a cool, like, cover here where, like, he has Punisher, like, tied up, so it's, you know... It's a really cool just way they're doing, and it's what I thought this movie was gonna be when they first announced it. I thought it would be because the rumors were saying it was like because you saw the leaks of like the 20th Century Fox logo like on set and whatnot. So the rumor was this Deadpool Wolverine will be about Deadpool like killing the Fox universe, which I thought would have been kind of a cool concept. But it would have been taken from this comic book run, and just to give
I've read the first one. I know there's like three of them. I really liked it. It was a lot of fun.
There were rumors early on that Carl Urban was going to be Dreadpool. in this movie, and I thought that would have been great to see.
That's cool.
That would have been cool.
That's cool.
I do like Carl Urban.
Me too, man. But yeah, that's my plug. What you got? What you got?
So I would say Kite Man, Hell Yeah, which is basically a poor man's Harley Quinn. It's not as good, but it's still entertaining.
I saw the trailer. It looked awesome.
I like the character Kite Man from Harley Quinn, and I completely forgot that this was announced. And then I saw a trailer for it the other day, and I was like, I have to watch that.
Yeah, I've seen the first two episodes so far. I'm liking it, especially the character Malice. When you watch the show, you see what I mean. But she's a fun one. She's pretty good. I think she's going to carry a lot of the show.
So, Kite Man can be found on HBO Max.
Yes.
Acolyte can be found on Disney Plus. And Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe can be found on Comixology and just any other local comic book shop.
And I'd like to reiterate, I did not plug the Acolyte. I plugged episode 5 of the Acolyte.
Sorry, just
only episode 5.
So go watch episode 5. Don't worry about 1 through 4, anything that comes after. Press play on 5, you'll be all set.
And report back to us.
You'll be good.
But gentlemen, and that's been the plug of the week. But guys, thank you.
Yeah, Coast, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate you.
Aaron, thanks for opening up your home and your sweet boy, Basil. Hello? Is he there? He's been great. Asleep. He didn't say nothing. He's been such a great guest. Again, guys, and I want to thank you guys, the listeners out there, for joining in on this Deadpool and Wolverine spoiler discussion. Again, you can find us on Spotify under the name It Was Mooney. You can also find us on YouTube under the same name. You can come and watch any of our long form videos and other content. But again, I've been Cosey, and I've been joined by
Cousin Chris
and
Aaron.
And until next time, guys, peace.
Also, Basil.